Support for WERU comes from our generous listeners. You make community radio possible. Thank you.
It's 10 o'clock and you are tuned to WERU-FM 89.9 Blue Hill and streaming online at WERU.org. Maine Arts Alive with your guest host Matt Murphy is up next.
And welcome to Maine Arts Alive again with your guest host today, Matt Murphy. Michael had some other business. Michael Donahue, our regular host, had some other business to attend to today and asked me to fill in instead of moving his the whole schedule of the program off by a month because we wanted to get to today's topic, which is venues, arts venues in the area, particularly two of them, the many sides of how theaters work, and we'll also hear about some upcoming productions as well. Okay. Once again, welcome to Maine Arts Alive. I'd like to welcome my guests as well. Jerry Missler, who is the Managing Director of Gracie Theater at Hudson University in Bangor. Jerry, welcome to WERU.
Thank you so much, Matt. I'm excited.
And Lori Sitzeby, the Artistic Director of New Surrey Theater in Blue Hill. And in the interest of full disclosure, this wasn't planned, but I am on the board of New Surrey Theater, and so Lori and I know each other, and there you go. First of all, I'd like to get you both to describe your background, how you wound up getting into where you landed now, where you're working now. Lori, why don't Jerry, why don't you go first?
Absolutely. Thank you so much. My background is in theater. I grew up in Reading, Pennsylvania, outside on a sheep farm, and found my way to the theater in high school, and that really led me to want to do it on a larger scale. So I went to undergrad and got a degree in theater and poked around in the Washington, D.C. area for a while before deciding to go for my Master's of Fine Arts in Acting at the University of Pittsburgh. And once I got that acting degree, that's when I decided maybe it was time to have children, which is a really bizarre time to discover that. But it was just the way my life fell. So at that point, we looked around at various places to raise children. We started out in Alaska, and that was pretty cold and dark. So we lasted there for 3 years and then found our way back to Maine or to Maine. My husband and I were not originally from here. But it's a wonderful place to raise children and not as many acting opportunities as in other cities. So one of the great things that I've been able to do is both function as an actor and then also as a managing artistic director of a fabulous venue in Bangor. So all roads led to that wonderful position that I hold. I have a great job.
Oh, great. How long have you been at Gracie Theater?
Well, this is my 10th year of employment at Hudson. I started out as an adjunct professor, and then I moved into full-time as the theater when it opened. We're just 10 years old this year. The building itself, the meeting house, Beardsley Meeting House, was built in 2009, so now 2019. Here we are, 10 years old.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, let me turn to you now, Lori. Your background. How did you wind up at New Surrey Theater in Blue Hill?
Well, that's
is it a circuitous route?
Yeah, a little bit. interestingly enough, I moved here from the Reading, Pennsylvania area as well. So Jerry and I found something in common right off the bat.
But that's wild.
I did acting in high school and college. My bachelor's degree is in music therapy, and I had worked in healthcare for years. And when I had children and they were old enough to figure out what their extracurricular activities were, they fell in love with theater, and I went along. So it was a great way for us to spend family time together. They'd be on stage, and I'd be in the pit or stage managing or things like that. It was a great way to stay together, and I didn't have to drive back and forth if I was staying and doing something while they were rehearsing. And eventually that led to me directing and loving every minute of it, joining a board and doing more with that. So in Reading, Pennsylvania, actually started and ran a children's theater. for many years. And then after 25 years of me not being on stage, took the opportunity to start to audition for shows and start acting again. So shortly after that, vacationed in Maine and fell in love with the area, mm-hmm. and took a tour of the Grand and thought, wow, I want to live up in this area. And while we were on vacation, someone said, if you like Ellsworth, you should visit over in Blue Hill. And so we visited Blue Hill, and that was in October. And in February, we were living up here. And the following January, I auditioned for Fiddler on the Roof with New Surrey Theater and have been doing stuff with them ever since.
All right. So. Well, thank you very much, and congratulations to you, too, on being involved in theater here in Maine. The mission and goals of your theater, your organizations. Could I ask you first, Jerry? What are the goals? What are you trying to do at Gracie Theater?
Oh, sure. I think there are two missions. One of them is that we want to invite the community onto the beautiful campus of Hudson University, which is off Broadway in a sense, and literally off Broadway in Bangor. And I believe that unless you have a certain reason to go onto the campus, you might not go and realize that it's an expanding place. We're constantly building new buildings and cut the ribbon on our wellness center. And we're in the process of putting in a new business school. So much is going on there. And the Gracie is a wonderful way for community members to come onto the campus and see all the growth and the wonderful developments that are happening on the campus. And then the second reason, really, our second mission is to train our students in hands-on experience working in theatrical venues. We don't have a theater major there. People don't really know that. But with our BS degrees, we are functioning as a training ground for the students of New England School of Communications to major in topics such as entertainment production versus straight up theater. So they're getting a really hands-on experience working with artists that we bring in. So rather than being a producing theater, like Lori's Theater, we are presenting theater. They started out producing two shows, West Side Story and Tommy, and looked at that kind of idea of, is this the way we want to train our students, building from, stick building a show, or do we want them to have experience loading in a show that's already built and then loading it out that night? And that's where NESCOM decided the most opportunity for our students to get employment lands in live sound, sound engineering, entertainment production, lighting design, set production, play production, set design, those types of events, stage management, assistant stage management. All of those are very viable jobs they can have. So what better way for our students to get employment training than to work on shows that are already built, get them in there, learn side by side next to professionals who are doing this every day of their lives, and deciding if that's where they want to spend their careers.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Lori, New Surrey Theater, mission of New Surrey Theater.
Well, first and foremost, it's to present the community with some professional quality amateur community theater on the Blue Hill Peninsula. We do that quite effectively with some awesome talent that exists in this area. With that, we also have a performing arts school, so to educate people about acting techniques and stagecraft and things like that, and singing for the stage, and playwriting and makeup and every aspect of theater that you can think of to help educate the community to participate in the performing arts on the peninsula.
Okay, great. Thank you. Now I'm going to cut to the chase. The size of your venues, and that's part of our topic this morning, is how different size venues function, because they're the same in many ways, but they're also very different animals in other ways. And so what are the how big is Gracie Theater? How many seats?
490 seats, yeah. Okay. We have an orchestra level and a balcony level, so altogether 490.
Okay, and New Surrey Theater, which is in Blue Hill Town Hall Theater.
We can seat about 100.
Okay, so folks can see the different size of these two theaters, and should be noted that probably New Surrey Theater is on the bigger side of small theaters, and Gracie is kind of on the smaller side of big theaters.
Right.
So they're very representative, I think, of the size of theaters. There's certainly some that are much smaller and some that are significantly bigger in the state than Gracie Theater. But I'm wondering on, Laura, 100 seats and Jerry, almost 500. What are the production implications of having a house the size that you do? Looking for, there's probably some very clear commonalities, and then I'm guessing there are some things that are pretty different when you have a house of different sizes. And Lori, could you start on what are some of the operational production implications of having a 100-seat theater?
Well, for us, it's I don't know that we necessarily limit our productions because of the size of our theater. So when Bill Rayton directed Fiddler on the Roof, we had a cast of 51. So what happens in that case is we actually have to maybe remove chairs, or we vary the size of our stage, or we get really creative with the use of the town hall, using a stairwell because we don't have tremendous wing space for 50-some people. But when it's two people in the cast, we have a great amount of wing space. So I think it's about being creative with what we have, not necessarily limiting what we want to do. It's really taking a look at how can we use most effectively the space. So, for example, this season, almost all of our productions will be in a round. We're doing six main stage productions this year, and we're not using the stage space at all. So we are taking away our stadium seating and putting the seating on the side and using the floor of what normally is our seating as the theater space.
So for those who don't know exactly what In the Round is, describe how the theater looks when it's in the round.
So most of the acting will occur on the floor itself with chairs around what essentially is the stage. So the audience will be really close to our actors, which is exciting for me. But it won't be a traditional looking straight at the stage and watching from that direction. Things will happen all the way around people. So there will be times when actors have their backs in certain positions, and we'll manage that really well. So everybody gets a look at everybody. But it's a little more exciting for the actors because they get to do things that they don't normally get to do on a traditional stage facing the audience. So it makes it more intimate. Like I said, the actors will be really close to the audience, giving a much more participatory feel. We won't be breaking the fourth wall or anything, but the audience will feel very much a part of the productions.
And what's the fourth wall?
The fourth wall is this imaginary wall where actors don't participate or engage with the audience. It's we're looking at them, we're facing in that direction, but there's this imaginary curtain that we don't look past. It's like a TV screen. You can't interact with the people on the other side.
Yeah.
But essentially, that's the fourth wall.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Jerry, what having the theater the size that you do and having the students who are learning, what kind of implications does that have on what you select for your season? And I'll get to both of your seasons in just a second. But in terms of choosing a season, what kind of production considerations do you have?
Well, we try to do about one production a month. So we're working on an academic schedule. We look at about nine shows in a season. And when I'm selecting a season, I really look for a range of interests that will appeal to the community as well as to our students, because we want them to get a great experience as well bringing in shows that include music, also theater, maybe some comedy, a children's show possibly, a magician, a professional magician. So all of these types of shows that have a good range of opportunities, both for the audience to see a large array of cultural events, but also for the students to engage in a range as well. So a little bit of this and a little bit of that. I will say the biggest challenge that I have, too, is we'd love to produce or present some musicals. Those are great sellers, but they're expensive when they're touring, and they're often large and larger than we can afford. So I'm, you know, that Gracie is provided a budget by the Hudson University, but we are a nonprofit. So, you know, if there's a touring company that's doing The Color Purple, for example, that's going to the Collins Center this year, that's not a show that could fit into the Gracie. Because of 490 seats, the ticket prices would be very, very large. We could fit it on our stage. We have a wonderful stage. We have an amazing fly system. We have all the bells and whistles, top-notch, state-of-the-art sound equipment. We have a 21 speaker array system, and, you know, fabulous equipment that is traded out every 2 years to keep students with their hands on the most up-to-date instruments. However, we are limited by how much a group will charge to come and perform. So I have to be kind of doing this balancing act between how much money there is in the budget, what shows are going out, what shows are going to be routing, which is a you know, kind of a new term, or maybe for this particular listening audience, but, you know, shows that are saying we're going to be in this area, therefore you would be able to have us come up to Bangor, Maine, because we're not on the way to any place except Canada. Unlike some other, you know, areas like Chicago, they're on the way to, you know, between major cities. Bangor is not. So I have to be very judicious in looking at what shows are coming into the area to the Northeast and how I can assuage them to come to Bangor.
All right. Well, thank you. Follow-up question is, how many students, you've got this, like you said, state-of-the-arts equipment so that students are learning on the latest thing out there, which I imagine would enhance their employability once they go out into the great big world. How many students typically will work on a production that the theater that you're presenting?
We present them at the beginning of the year with all the shows that we have coming in, and some of them are also rentals. We do have a rental arm of our show, of our theater. So, for example, Bangor Ballet will rent the theater and present their annual concerts. And so those are also possibilities. But to answer your question about the students, it really, we kind of let it up to them. They are volunteering their time. So we present an array of options for them. And some shows are more popular. Some demand a larger a body of students to work. Our big concerts, for example, in October, I have a very large concert coming called The Hitmen. And these are musicians who toured and performed and recorded with major names over decades. That's going to be multimedia, so we need students working on that. There's going to be a lot of people in the show, so we need some stage management, assistant stage management, people on lights, and then we'll have a body of students working live sound for that. So we could end up with as many as 15 students volunteering. A smaller show, such as the one I'm starting with, is Women of the World. This is a vocal quartet, so they're going to have you know, four women singing a cappella, and that's going to require live sound as well, but maybe not as many because we don't have instruments that they have to run through the monitors and have to balance out between voices and instruments, which is a real challenge and a great skill for them to acquire. So it's a real hodgepodge, and hopefully the students, and often do, embrace all the opportunities that are there for them. We build a show, a set, for example, for Late Night Catechism, where our stage has to look like the inside of a catechism class. So our students who are working on set, you know, set design, set building, have a lot of fun with their creativity of that, because that touring show doesn't come with their own set. We're required to put it in for them. So all of those things that come in on our tech, on the technical riders that each show provides us, is it's up to us to fulfill those requirements on those technical riders and make it happen in a way that is both creative and also both technical as well. And we are on a proscenium stage. Lori has also been working on proscenium stages. Now they're converting theirs into a different configuration. We wouldn't have that option in the Gracie. We are a fixed proscenium. Our fourth wall is literally where the curtain would close. So proscenium, meaning people are sitting out into the audience. They're looking straight on up onto the stage, and you know, the performers are coming out from the wings and performing there. And that's, you know, that's a major difference. We really can't move our seats around unless we wanted to put some on stage, which can happen as well. We just wouldn't be able to seat as many people. And it provides a different kind of challenge as far as lighting.
Okay, great. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So I think we've gotten into an area that's a big difference between Gracie Theater and New Surrey Theater. So Laura, could you talk about the same topic, but from a different perspective on the production implications and considerations of a theater like New Surrey Theater in Blue Hill?
Sure. Interestingly enough, not this past summer, the one before, I got to perform with Blue Hill Bach at Gracie Theater. So
it was great, and
walking in there, I remember feeling, oh, my bucket list, you know. But as Jerry was just talking, I was like, wow, what an interesting comparison for the two of us.
Yes.
While we have technical challenges, the small venue offers some things that we really don't have to think of in terms of when it comes to tech and sound. Certainly, when we bring in musicians to accompany a musical, we really have to think about that. The small venue, it's easy for the music to overpower the cast, very easy. We don't use microphones, so it would just be too loud in the space that we have if we had mic'd musicians and cast. That would almost be too loud. So from a sound standpoint, we're looking to our actors to project and fill up the space and that kind of thing. From a musician standpoint, that can be overbearing at times. So finding the space in the space that we have and keeping people quiet. And when we want to add more than a piano, that becomes extremely difficult for everybody involved. But it's doable.
Yeah.
From a lighting standpoint, we have about a 24-channel light board that we can use very effectively in the space that we have. We can light the stage. We can light the floor. For this season, we're going to have to reposition everything to face down to the floor and on the stage and on the walls in some aspects. So, I think our venue offers us a lot of flexibility in what we can do, and we have to be creative in the ways that we look at providing what we want to provide. Some things can be difficult, projection in our space, or adding multi-levels to sound can be difficult just because we have two speakers and that kind of thing. So, and not be overbearing again in our small space. So it's an interesting combination of the two. It certainly offers people that like to work with light, sound, and on the tech side, a challenge in creativity, I think. We don't have a lot of tech stuff available at our fingertips, but what we do have offers someone who's creative enough to work with it great opportunities.
Okay, thanks.
If I can hop in there, Matt, too, at the Gracie, we have a black box theater that a lot of people don't know
right,
about.
Right, upstairs, and I love it.
I absolutely love it.
And what's a black box theater?
So great question. A black box is simply a room that you can convert. It's often painted black and or dark colors, and it allows for a smaller scale, more experimental theater to happen. And so when the Gracie was built, there was in the plans a very kind of larger, more standard black box theater that got cut from the budget. That just didn't seem like where the money needed to go at the time. So they put a classroom upstairs, which is logical. We're a university. Once the theater people got a hold of it, we quickly figured, yes, it can be a classroom by day and a theater by night. We can do it. So, it got painted this beautiful steel gray color. We put a stage on, you know, in there, and where students are usually sitting and looking at a whiteboard, all those desks can go away. We turn towards the stage and we create small theater. And that's wonderful too, because our Hudson University Theater Club, which is the students in the theater department or in the school itself, just any major can get involved and do two productions a year, and they learn how to do lighting and sound for that small space. I direct musical theater performance, which is a class that's taught in the spring, and the culmination of that is we present a musical, and we rehearse it all semester long and put it in the black box so that students, like you were saying, Lori, they're taught to use their vocal projection as opposed to relying on microphones.
Right.
And they sing to a piano. And like you said, anything more than that, they lose their, you know, you lose their voices. So it's a great opportunity for them. And we can sit about 75 people in that room. We usually do fill it up when we do that. We perform for a weekend, and it's just so much fun, kind of, I don't know, letting your hair down and not having a very big set that you have to put up, but really kind of stripping away some of those other elements and getting into the root of theater, which is, you know, let's put on a show and
right.
not have a large budget. And how does that work? And who, you know, what drives that? And that a lot of it is just the love of the art. And that's what thrills me. I love what I do and the shows that I bring in, but I also love the creation of theater. And so I advise that group, and we have a lot of fun looking for small shows that fit into that
yeah.
type of venue. So it's a little secret black box upstairs.
It is a great space.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of putting on shows, I want to ask you both about your season. But first, I want to welcome people who may just be tuning in to Maine Arts Alive, expecting to hear Michael Donahue hosting with his deeper voice than mine. I'm filling in for him today. He had some other business he had to take care of, and asked me to fill in. So my name is Matt Murphy. My guests are Jerry Missler, Managing Director of Gracie Theater at Hudson University in Bangor, and Laurie Sitzeby, the Artistic Director of New Surrey Theater in Blue Hill. And once again, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
So let's hear about your seasons. Lori, why don't we start with you, and what things are being offered by New Surrey Theater in the next many months?
Okay. This is the stuff that keeps me up at night.
feel free as you're going through this to mention any particular production or operational challenges. Why don't you just go through the season, then I'll follow up with
sure,
the questions.
Sure, sounds good.
I'll throw you some zingers afterwards.
So we have six main stage productions scheduled for this season. It'll be our largest season yet. In November, we have Fun Home. In February, we have a two-person musical, Constellations. In April, a show we did at a staged reading last season will be a full production of God of Carnage, which is a lot of fun watching two couples deteriorate into fighting over their children.
That never happens.
In June, we'll be doing The Laramie Project. In July, Prelude to a Kiss. And in August, which is traditionally our musical time, we'll be doing Threepenny Opera.
Okay.
And throughout the season, we'll have stage readings, and we're working with a couple of local playwrights to do some playwriting workshops as well.
Okay. And then, of course, the school operating
as well. I was just
going to
say that.
Yes,
yeah, we have our performing arts school, which is in session right now. We do a fall session and then, again, a winter session as well. So lots going on.
Okay. I'm going to ask you about that again in a little bit. But right now, tell us about what you can tell us without being a spoiler for Fun Home for those who aren't familiar with the name of that production.
Fun Home is based on the graphic novel by Alison Bechtel, and essentially it's her memories of her childhood at two particular points in time, when she was 9 and then again when she was 19. It is a family that's in chaos. It's called the Fun Home because their home is also a funeral home. Their father is a funeral director, so the family affectionately calls it Fun Home. And while there are children in the show, it's a probably a more adult theme or for folks who are willing to have conversations with their children. It is a closeted gay man who's married with a family, and Alison Bechtel is his daughter, who is a lesbian, and her coming to terms with her own sexuality and understanding that her father is a closeted homosexual as well.
Okay. So not light fare.
It is not light fare. However,
yes.
There are parts of it that are tremendously fun. Mm-hmm. It is not it's not a show where you're going to walk out super depressed, although okay. It does have some heavy themes in it.
Oh, so, it's so fun, too. Yeah, it really is. And I love the way it moves back and forth
yes.
in time. And that's so creative and a wonderful opportunity for
performers. And it doesn't stay still. I mean, it's a show without an intermission. It's about an hour and 40 minutes or so, and it really just keeps moving. And like Jerry just said, it's back and forth with Allison's memories from 9 years old to 19, back to nine. Back, and
yeah. Yeah, it's great.
Okay, thanks. Jerry, you're the season at Gracie Theater. What have you got coming up?
So we're opening up in October. We have two very different productions. One is Women of the World. That's on an award-winning vocalist from four different countries who sing in 32 languages. This group is amazing. They are internationally based. They are rarely in the States. They're going to be in Boston in October. So I have been waiting to have them at the Gracie for years. And I really, it's a celebration of the diversity found in music through cultural eyes and also through the lives of women in those countries. So it's just a wonderful time for us to explore women of the world through music, through song. And they are wonderful ambassadors for that message of peace and acceptance and tolerance. It's just so great right now. So that's coming up in October and followed in no short order by the Hitmen. This is a legendary rock supergroup. This is not a tribute show. These are the real men who toured with everybody from Frankie Valli to Cat Stevens to Carole King to Elton John.
Oh, wow.
Sang, recorded, or performed with these major giants in music. They were just put into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and indoctrinated into there. And so these guys are touring. They tell insider stories that are so funny and so interesting. It's a multimedia walk through rock and roll history. So that's in October. It was so popular, we added two shows of that. So that's awesome. An up-and-coming country badass instrumental group called Farewell Angelina. They do country in a way that just brings out fabulous instruments. And it's all female, and it is great country, rock, some covers, mostly original. These ladies are opening for major, major country acts and are making now a name for themselves. Farewell Angelina in November. We're bringing back Coig, A Celtic Christmas. This is a Canadian Atlantic Provinces a Celtic group, and they just made their newest Christmas album. So we're bringing them back. People love them. This ultra talented Celtic Christmas group called Coig. January is going to be fun. We're doing a group called Well Strung. They are a singing string quartet. Well Strung.
I don't think you're allowed to say that.
I know. I was worried about that. Their album's called Under the Covers, but we'll just leave it right there. Anyway, these are I'll just say it. They're four hunky guys. They're amazing. They are trained in the classical string instruments, and they take everything from, you know, they turn Bach into Taylor Swift and it goes from there. They also sing. They're amazing, talented vocalists as well. So it's a really, really cool show. Lots of fun. Well Strung in January. We have a classical pianist, Fei Fei. She is going to be performing at the, she's going to be opening at the Met shortly after that. So we get her like preview of what it is, the warm-up. Yeah, so they're, you know, she's going out and about sort of rehearsing for that event, and she's coming in February. Also in February of Wicked Divas, which is the Elphaba and Glinda from Broadway. This is the Elphaba who's played Elphaba longer than any other Elphaba on Broadway in Wicked, and they do sparring back and forth in their characters. They also do some other Broadway hits. They've been in Hello, Dolly, Titanic, iconic Phantom of the Opera. So it's a great Broadway mashup. Late Night Catechism, we're bringing back this crazy actress nun who does a late night class, if you will, and teaches the students about various things that we should know, not only about Catholicism, but some religions. And it's really hysterical. It's part improv. It's like Carol Burnett meets, you know, Saturday Night Live meets, you know, nonsense.
Mother Superior. Yes. Nonsense.
And, you know, sometimes you get in trouble or sometimes you get glow-in-the-dark rosaries if you answer the questions right. And you don't have to be Catholic to think it's hysterical. We're ending our season with the incredible Natural Wonder, which is the ultimate Stevie Wonder experience. Number one Billboard vocalist Gabriel Bello, I saw this group perform, and his voice is amazing. He sounds like Stevie Wonder, but then he pulled out this harmonica, plays the piano, and does, you know, Isn't She Lovely with that harmonica solo. Mm. And I went, oh, this nails it. Not to mention the jazz ensemble that he's got behind him, backing him up. So it's a full band experience of Stevie Wonder through the decades, getting all the hits. So that's our season. As you can tell, I'm so excited about it because it's so much fun. It's like every show has something for someone.
Yeah, I think if we could get a little more enthusiasm out of you, you'd be doing well.
It's my coffee here. Yeah. My WERU mug is beautiful. Thank you.
Sure. Right now, I want to invite listeners, if they would like to call in and give a shout out to your favorite venue in the area, whether it's New Surrey Theater or Gracie Theater or another one of the fine theaters in the area that does presenting and producing and everything from films to concerts to plays to magicians to whatever in the performing arts. And the number to call is 207-469-0500, 207-469-0500. Call in and give a shout out to your favorite venue. Whether you work there, if you're the executive director of one of those theaters, we definitely want to hear from you to tell us what's going on at your place. And if you're a regular show goer, let's hear from you as well, because we want to kind of celebrate the richness of the theaters in the area. We could only fit two into this program, but we easily could fit in 20.
It's exciting, isn't it? Just all the different theater that's going on. And like, Lori, you went from a smaller season and expanding to that many shows, which only says we can do this. We have the audience, we have the interest, we have the performers as well. And I think that's, that, you know, it's great for these times. And I think it's important. I think it's a great way to get messages out in a way that's not in the news, you know.
Absolutely.
Things that need to be told or things that we want to experience. And, I'm just so excited about the voices that theater can have.
I think even beyond the performances, certainly the talent that's around is amazing, and bringing that all together is a huge part of why I love my job. But the community that that theater helps to create, not just with performers, but with the backstage, with the audience, with the people selling the tickets, with just every single aspect of community theater and how that builds and helps to build relationships within community is amazing.
So you mentioned building something.
Yes.
I'd like to ask you both to give, synopsis of the history of your theaters, and you can hopefully listeners will be able to see how things were built over time. Certainly, New Surrey Theater has a long history. Gracie Theater is more recent, but I'm sure there's a lot of work that went into it before it actually was launched. But Laura, could you talk about the history of New Surrey
Theater? Sure. Bill Rayton started New Surrey Theater in 1972, and from a kid in Brooklyn to come to all the way up to Maine to start New Surrey Theater. New Surrey Theater has worked in many venues in that time. For the last 11 years, we've been in the Blue Hill Town Hall Theater, which is right in the Town Hall building on the second floor in the Blue Hill Town Hall. And it's grown from one or two productions a year. Bill and Elena used to work with At-Risk Youth, using theater to help develop and grow the minds of young people and help them to succeed in a different way through theater. And that's partly why I love it, too, is people get to engage in a very different way that's not through books. It's experiential. It's meeting people with the same kind of weirdness.
celebrating weirdness.
Yeah. Bring your weirdness. We love it. But it's developed over time from one or two productions, typically musicals a year, to and the acting school that Bill started, using acting as truth, the styles of Uta Hagen and Lee Strasberg, and bringing that to the community. And many people have passed through the New Surrey Theater Acting as Truth class that never, ever step foot on stage. But the skills that they develop are incredible. And you've been in the class yourself. They're tons of fun. Mm. Just improvisation and learning to find the truth in your character through feelings. So we've grown since 1972 we're in our 48th season. That'll be Fun Home will kick off our 48th season. And our now home of the last 11 years in the Blue Hill Town Hall Theater.
Well, certainly, not to sound self-serving, because at the beginning of the show I identified that I am involved with New Surrey Theater. Congratulations on a wonderful thing.
Yeah, that's amazing.
To everybody, to Bill and Elena and to you now and so many people.
Yes, it truly has been a community effort.
Great, thank you. Yeah. Jerry, the history of Gracie Theater.
Right, I mentioned earlier in the show, but failed to mention, this is our eighth season, so we got 40, yeah. 40 years behind.
40 to go.
We're like the infancy. But to that end, I think when the Gracie Theater was built, there wasn't a clear idea of exactly which direction it should go.
Right.
So we've sort of just let the community guide what the needs are in the area. So when they produced West Side Story, it was a fabulous integration of area performers as well as area musicians. The Bangor Symphony Orchestra provided the orchestration for West Side Story. So it was a big bash. It was wonderful. It ran for 2 weekends. And then the faculty looked at that and said, wow, we are working every night in addition to our full-time jobs making this happen. And while it was an exciting venture and it really kind of showed off all the bells and whistles that are a wonderful part of the Gracie, I think at that point the idea started to turn in, what if we had a managing director who would, create a season that we could work with on a smaller scale and not have to design the shows, but have shows that are already designed and already artistically created and have us present them. So from there, I was hired. And then for the past 8 years, I've sort of let the audiences guide me towards what works in that venue and what they enjoy seeing. I love standing, both greeting the audience at the start of shows and also at the end and hearing their comments, because it really informs me what types of performances they like and the intimacy that they get seeing stars up close and personal. Last year we opened with Ed Asner. Hmm. Ed Asner, he was on stage in the Gracie, and with 490 seats, you get to see him up close.
Yeah.
And you really do get to experience, for example, the Manhattan Transfer. That was another really big one. We had the Association, the Fifth Dimension. These are groups that people get to see not far away in the middle of an open field on a stage, that's where there's screens that you have to watch. And no disservice to that kind of experience as well. But having a concert where it's up close and personal is another way of experiencing art and music. And I think it all works, just so long as people are seeing the difference between live theater and what it's like on your YouTube channel. It really, really is quite different. And whenever you go and allow yourself to experience live theater, you sit there and go, oh, right, that's... I forgot how I felt. I forgot how it feels to be moved by hearing and seeing art happening right in front of you that will never be recreated. It won't be filmed and replayed. It's right there in that moment, and it's interactive. And that not breaking the fourth wall is certainly a function of the theater, but also that fourth wall is the audience. They are the they are the acting partner, or they're the other part of the performance that is essential. So as important as it is for Lori and I to, you know, to create art, to bring art, it's also important for people to go to see it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so well said. and the difference between going to a theater and seeing a production and watching something on your phone are, you know, as handy as the phones are, in some regard, they're not the same thing as being sitting in the audience, of course. But you Jerry, got into a little bit of why it's the performing arts is so important, and I wanted to give you a chance to speak to that, Lori, as well.
The essentially what we look for in what we're bringing to our audience is, especially in this season, we look at each season with what, not necessarily a theme, but what are we looking to do and where are we looking to grow? This season in particular for New Surrey Theater has been about building relationships within the community with other organizations, with other businesses, with other people. And most of our productions center around relationship in some way. You might have to look at a few to find that, but building relationships. Building relationships and the importance in even our dysfunctional relationships, what they have, and that's something that I love that the performing arts gets to do is explore various topics in a way that. That you may not otherwise, not looking at your phone, not watching a movie, it's having that live experience. And Jerry's absolutely right. The audience is an essential part of anything with live performing arts. It's, all of us here have been on stage, that feeling that you get from an audience that's not participatory compared to an audience that's rolling in their seats at something funny and how that affects you as a performer. And how you as a performer can touch the lives of people in much the same way, leaving a performance and hearing, wow, that really made me think about this or made me help me to feel this or I never looked at it that way. Or for me personally, we just did the late night catechism makes me laugh because we just ended our 47th season with Nonsense. And hearing people at the end of that performance, oh, my belly hurts so much from laughing and I haven't laughed that much in a long time. I mean, it's just to be able to give that to someone, I think is amazing. Or before that, we did Anne Frank, you know, and people leaving set with a different kind of tears and the heaviness and the conversation that helped to develop within the community and things that we need to talk about. And it, just every aspect of that and how the performing arts really, and Jerry said this too, it's individual. We typically do a 3-weekend run of every production that we do. And every night is something different. It's different for the audience members. It's different for the performers. It's different for the crew. It's those kinds of things are, I love live performance for that very reason.
And when the performances are live, both on stage and off stage, I'm not asking for what's gone wrong, but are there any funny things that that you'd like to share? And I'll let you think about that for a minute. You know, the backstage, whether it's a concert, whether it's a play production, there's a lot that can go right, and there's also things that you need to be on your toes, and things that you don't necessarily expect may happen. And so that, I think, would you say that's another part of the experience of people being involved in theater is being being nimble on their feet for what's coming? And either of you have any experience with that? So that I'll let you think about that question. But before that, while you're thinking, what is it like for someone brand new, whether it's a student at Husson and New England School of Communications, or someone who's gone through acting class and is in their first production, or someone who's working behind the scenes on a play? What's it like for someone who first gets involved with your organizations? And Jerry, I'll ask you to go first.
Well, as far as the students getting involved, I think that is part of their curriculum development. So they are there at any given morning of the shows. They're there at 7 a.m. You know, we'll give them donuts and coffee. But beyond that, they're there to work. So their first experiences are often, showing up very early, going out to a loading dock, looking at a trailer of equipment and lugging it all in, whether it's roadhog materials, big speakers, instruments, all of that, and getting the stage set, building a drum kit, putting it up on a drum riser, flying in various different configurations of curtains that would fit. And setting up any kind of background setting that we want. We've got lighting towers and some various fun looks that we can do. We've got a slit drape. You know, it depends on the style of the show. So they're really experienced with that. And then hours later, the performers arrive and they will have costumes, or they'll want to have a quick change area in the wings, left or right. And we've got to configure that and put up mirrors and lights backstage or side stage so they can do something like a quick change. So there's a lot of on the fly things. Also, sometimes performers have specific requests that are very difficult to understand if they don't speak the same language in paper that they say when they arrive, like, I want my hot tea. And I remember there was an incident with a very, very famous female performer, and she was very frustrated with us for not understanding what her interpretation of hot tea was. So we literally had, you know, a teapot, a hot pot, a hot carafe. And, you know, I don't think we nailed it at all. If any of
you
those.
Tried.
Yeah,
you
we
really
tried. I was like, it's tea. I don't know what to do. We did have to sort of work through that. But, you know, you do have to kind of be nimble and also be flexible when there
Absolutely.
Are people coming in, artists coming in, and they all have their own ideas and their personalities, as well as performers who are local and performing in a show. You know, they can lose their voices, or they can break their legs, and, you know, in the midst of living. So those are all, you know, fabulous things that have to be dealt with and make live theater just that much more exciting.
Yes, exciting is a good
Absolutely.
Word for it. How about for you, Lori, and New Surrey Theater, getting started experience, and then hopefully in the back of your mind something light that's happened that the audience maybe didn't know about.
Sure. Bringing new people on is always exciting. We have multiple ways to do that, through auditioning for a show, through our performing arts school, through just shoot me an email and say you want to do lights and sound. We're always looking for folks on and off the stage, folks that want to help out. We are a fun bunch for the most part. The folks that aren't so much fun don't stay with us for very long. But
if you don't like having fun, don't
if you don't
come
like
around.
Having fun, don't come around, right? It's what Jerry just said about being nimble. That's absolutely the case. Yes, things happen. People break limbs and get sick. And I'm trying to think of a production that I've worked on where something hasn't happened with someone that, you know, that has caused us to reroute or change or, nope, we can't do this that way anymore. There's so many stories, Matt, if you want me to, things that the audience would hopefully never, ever know.
Oh, that's the thing. Oh, the key.
If you care to share one, but no pressure. We'll just be silent until you
I can
with
think
one.
Of, for me in particular, we did Calendar Girls a couple of years ago, which, you know, at the end of the first act, you're naked on stage, right? So,
you
and
hope
not
the
only,
lighting person is on there.
Right. Right. And the people with all the guards in the right places so people aren't seeing things. But I played Cora in Calendar Girls, and we have, there's also 11 costume changes in that, which is kind of insane for when you're on stage. So I think I sweat more actually getting to costume changes than I did when I actually had to take my robe off. But but I, in the middle of a scene, the lights went out and all I had on my brain was that I have to get out of this costume and into the next one. The lights went out and I walked off stage and was disrobing almost immediately from the moment I cleared the stage. And I was supposed to be on stage. So, thank God. As I'm ripping my clothes off, I hear talking behind me, and an expletive came out of my mouth, and like I couldn't go back on. But that's where fellow cast members just pick up the pieces, and fortunately, someone knew my lines.
Well, anything else you'd like to share with folks on your experience and the experience of people in your theater? We've got just a couple of minutes left. And I wanted to give you an opportunity to do that. And please do mention your next one or two upcoming, or your whole season, upcoming productions. So, Jerry, how about you? Anything you'd like to finish up with? And tell us about what's going on and where people can find out more.
Yes, exactly. So the Gracie Theater is located on the campus of Husson University, and we are starting our season on October 13th, and I have you pick four plans, so if I can kind of plug that away, that's if you pick four, any four of the shows this year, and you get those tickets, it's 20% off of that, and that goes throughout the year. So buy four shows, get 20% off, and it continues throughout the year, and it makes great holiday gifts and birthday gifts and things like that. And those are all available by calling us at 941-7888, and that's our Gracie box office, or going online, gracietheater.com, and also Facebook pages are great because you can really look up, you know, what's going on. You get some immediate information. So I would love to have people, you know, even if they just have a question and want to know more about a show, that is also available on the Gracie Theater website. There are links so you can watch small, snippets. But keep in mind, too, what you see on those small snippets is only a fraction of what you might experience coming to live performance. And also, you know, just wanted to let you know that we do have student productions as well. As I mentioned, we have a really fabulous show the students are doing this year called The Guys, and it takes place after 9/11. It's a firefighter talking. So it's a two-person, really fabulous drama that happens the first week of December. And I'm directing The Fantastics in the Black Box Theater. Yes, I did. Last year I did I Love You, You're Perfect Now, Change. And I went a little more traditional this year, too, up in the Black Box Theater. And that's in the spring. So, you know, like, there's just so many things to see. And, of course, those prices are, you know, $5 versus some of the other prices, which range anywhere from, like, you know, $15 up to $40. So it really depends. And I just encourage you to get out there and see some live theater.
Yes, that's certainly, I'll jump in and say, support live theater and support the venues and the people and the community that make these happen. Lori, how about you? Some last thoughts and a review of what's coming up for New Surrey Theater.
Sure. We have, like I said, Fun Home will be opening in November, on November 8th, to kick off our 48th season. We are located in Blue Hill at the Blue Hill Town Hall Theater. You can find us at our website at newsurreytheater.org, and that's theater R-E.
And, same with me.
You can find us on Facebook or on Instagram. Feel free to come out and support us in any way you can. We have a fun season lined up. We will have information for our season tickets coming out shortly, as well as some other information. Just follow us on our Facebook page or our website.
Okay. Well, thank you both. Lori Sitzeby, the Artistic Director of New Surrey Theater in Blue Hill, and Jerry Missler, Managing Director of Gracie Theater on the campus of Husson University in Bangor. Thanks so much for being with us here,
Matt.
On Maine
Thank
Arts
you,
Alive.
Matt. Thanks for having us.
And next month, Michael Donahue will be back. This has been Matt Murphy filling in. A shout out to last month's Maine Arts Alive. It was on the Woody Guthrie's American Song, folks from Penobscot Theater Company. This is the last weekend of that show, but you can go on to WERU.org and hear performances from that that are up on our website on the homepage. Another production that's very timely in the community.
That's a beautiful production.
As Jerry mentioned, work of Women of the World, very timely as well,
yes,
at Gracie
absolutely.
Theater. Thanks to our engineer, Amy Brown, and thanks for listening and supporting your community radio station, WERU. And please get out there and support the arts. Thanks for tuning in.
Democracy Now! Produces a daily, global, independent news hour hosted by award-winning journalists Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. Their reporting includes breaking daily news headlines and in-depth